Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-658-3876. That's 800-658-3876. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-658-3876.
The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 a.m. WBNW.
The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
All right, good morning. Good morning, everyone. And I'm happy that I've finally overcome some personal obstacles in scheduling Jim Cook. I have to tell you, I'll start out this interview being sober and end it being sober. Jim Cook is the founder of the Boston Beer Company and brewer of Samuel Adams. He doesn't need a lengthy introduction, so I'm going to skip a lot of the things, but this has been, Samuel Adams Boston Lager has been an important catalyst in the American craft beer revolution for over three decades. And we're going to talk with him right now. He's got a brand new book out, and I can tell you it is interesting, entertaining, and valuable for you to get a lot of good tips. Quench Your Own Thirst, Business Lessons Learned Over a Beer or Two, and it's published by Flatiron Books in hardcover. And Jim, welcome. Absolutely delighted to have you on after not having seen you in 20 years.
Well, it's a pleasure having a beer with you, Stu. I'll be the designated drinker because I'm
all
here
right.
At a brewery.
Listen, it'll be my pleasure. Let me start off by having you just give a little bit of a background. You say that the recipe came from your great grandfather, and you've carried this on. Can you give us a kind of a summary, a synopsis of how this developed into the giant empire that you have today, and then we'll get into other stuff.
Yeah, and of course you can read the story in the book that I just finished called Quench Your Own Thirst. It's got business lessons learned over a beer or two. And, I started Sam Adams in my kitchen 32 years ago. And this was back when American beer was kind of a wasteland. You know, there wasn't all of these wonderful craft beers that we know today. In fact, the term craft beer hadn't even been invented. There were, about a dozen sort of misfits and crazy people all over the country that were trying to make great beer here in the United States, revive America's brewing traditions from the 19th century, and create a culture of quality beer here in the United States so that people didn't have to drink imports, which were often stale and skunky. And that sort of a small band of revolutionaries, and that's one of the reasons I named my beer after Sam Adams. He was the revolutionary behind the American political revolution. I wanted Sam Adams, the beer, to be the revolutionary behind an American beer revolution. And 32 years later, the landscape is totally transformed. Today, the best place in the world to be a beer drinker is not Germany or England or Australia or Canada or Belgium. It's right here in the United States. And the best beers in the world today are made by the small independent craft brewers like Sam Adams. And that's just been an amazing journey for me for 32 years, powered by beer.
Right. Powered by beer, continue to be powered by beer. But there are so many lessons in your book. How do you go about giving up a successful career to fulfill a dream? You were a successful management consultant. Now, I know everybody doesn't sit around like Jung once said to Freud and said, you know, being a psychiatrist or a psychoanalyst is a good job. And Freud was working in his garden. He said, I think I'll try it. And immediately, obviously, converted into a huge success. It doesn't work that way with everyone. How did you come to the decision to give up a career to embark on something that I guess has been in your blood? No alcohol level, pun intended.
Well, you know, that is true because I'm the sixth oldest son in a row in my family to be a brewer. But my dad was a brewmaster, and he got out of brewmaster school in 1948 when there were 1,000 breweries in the United States. There were local, regional breweries, you know, everywhere. Boston had, at the turn of the 20th century, Boston had 30 breweries inside the city limits. And in his years in the beer business, the 15 years, he watched all those guys get driven out of business by bigger and bigger and bigger companies until, well, today, 90% of the beer made in the United States is made by two global, like intergalactic, massive brewing conglomerates. They control 90% of the beer made in the United States. And he saw that coming and thought, you know, you don't have a chance, Jim. Those big guys, you can't compete with them. They're going to grind you up. Finally, I convinced him that I was going to do something very different. I was going to make small batches of very high-quality beer. I was going to charge more money for it. And I thought there'd be some people out there. And my original business plan was that it would take me 5 years to grow to a little over $1 million in sales. That would be 8 employees. And I could pay myself about $80,000 a year, which was about a third of what I was making. And people, you know, and I talk about that in Quench Your Own Thirst, about an attitude about risk that I want to change for people, because people view risk the wrong way. And I'll give you an example. You know, I had this very... it was a good job. I was very, very well paid. I had a nice office, 33rd floor of a office building, overlooked the harbor. You know, it was by all standards a good job, but it wasn't. After 6 years, I came to the conclusion it wasn't what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. Even though, you know, it was very comfortable and secure and well paid, and so I quit that job and went out on my own, started Sam Adams. And people say, well, geez, you took all this risk, Jim. That was so risky. How did you, you know, how did you get yourself to the point where you were taking that risk? And I didn't look at it that way. I didn't think that I was taking a risk, in fact, because I figured, all right, what's the worst that can happen, you know, with this Sam Adams beer company that I'm starting? The worst that can happen is I'll lose all my money, we'll go broke, I'll have a great party at the end, and you know, and then I'll pick myself up, I'll do something. I'm not going to be homeless, I'm not going to starve to death. And then I looked at the flip side of that, and I said, well, what if I stay at this job that it's okay, you know, it's not terrible, but it's not what I want to do for the rest of my life. If I stay doing that job and get to the end of, you know, my life, and I look back and I think, geez, that really was what I wanted to do, and I wasted my life. That's the risk.
Yeah, that's what I tell people. It's better to have tried something and, quote, not succeeded. I don't use the word failed, than just to sit around and not have done it at all. That's how you do it. You've been described as unconventional, daring, innovative. And I want to get to one thing. And by the way, I don't want to forget, so I want you to tell everyone where the proceeds from this book are going.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and obviously an unconventional part of Samuel Adams, because we view our fellow craft brewers not as competitors, but as colleagues and as fellow, you know, revolutionaries.
That's where I was going with this, so go ahead.
Yeah, and that's striking to people. And we have a philanthropic program called Sam Adams Brewing the American Dream that makes small business loans and startup loans to, you know, the very small businesses in food, beverage, and brewing. And so we've made almost 1,000 loans in total, but over 30 of them have gone to, quote-unquote, our competitors. We've made over 30 loans to up-and-coming small breweries, and we've provided coaching and counseling to hundreds more. And all of the proceeds from Quench Your Own Thirst go to help small businesses realize their American dream, including breweries and cideries that, you know, are part of our industry. We have learned that if we work together, we will have more success than if we try to kill each other.
Also, it's quite in line with the direction I'd like to think we're moving, and I think we are, without being political here, but being socially conscious. You've been socially conscious since you started out with the right attitude, and the message is do something for someone else. It'll come back to benefit you. We're coming up on a break, but when we come back, Jim Cook has graciously agreed to stay with us for another segment here. I'd like you to, you know, we'll kind of flip back and forth because you just can't cover anywhere near what's in this book. But what the process is for coming up with new blends, with new beers, always been fascinated by that. And
that's a very cool topic. Let's get
all right. Let's get
back.
That after a break. This is Stu Taylor. I'm absolutely thrilled to have on Jim Cook. The name of the book, buy the book, I don't care what business you're in, or even if you're not in business, Quench Your Own Thirst, Business Lessons Learned Over a Beer or Two. You all know where to get it. It's Flatiron Books. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-726-1031 because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-726-1031. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-726-1031. That's 800-726-1031.
BizTalkRadio.com.
The Legal Exchange, Saturdays 1 to 2 p.m., AM 1120, WBNW.
This is Jim Woolsey, former Director of Central Intelligence, and I'm glad you're listening along with me to Stu Taylor.
All right, we're back, and, you know, I get particularly excited when I have a success story on, like, Jim Cook. Because it gives so much hope to so many people in a land of great opportunity. And you can do it by giving back to others as well. And it's such an important message. Jim Cook rejoining us. The name of the book is Quench Your Own Thirst, Business Lessons Learned Over a Beer or Two. Flatiron Books. This is a keeper. I can't say that about every book that comes on. This is a keeper. Jim, just before the break, what is the process of coming up with all these new blends, both in terms of the content, the substance of the blend? And then I think of Ben and Jerry's with all the clever names.
Yeah, I don't know if we're great at names, but we are probably one of the most innovative brewers out there. And, you know, it comes, I think, just first from a mindset that the status quo sucks. I mean, the status quo is only the status quo because we haven't figured out how to improve it yet. But eventually, we will. So when I look at a beer, I want to make something that doesn't repeat the status quo, but, you know, builds on what's out there and then puts, like, new elements together. For example, we just finished the Sam Adams Nitro project. And, you know, everybody thinks about beer as having carbonation. And, you know, beer is carbonated, it's fizzy. Well, carbon dioxide isn't the only interesting gas out there. There's also nitrogen, which does some really startling things for beer. You're probably all familiar with, like, the head on a Guinness. That's because Guinness is pushed with nitrogen. So we extended that nitrogenation to other beer styles, to a nitro white ale, a nitro coffee stout, and a nitro IPA. And we had to go to England to get these special cans for it. It was a 3-year project to figure out how to, you know, get the nitrogen into the beer, into the cans, and then educate people about the taste characteristics, because nitrogen makes beer smooth, creamy, almost silky, and that changes the flavor profile to something that is often smoother and more drinkable. So it's just, you know, having a passion for what you do and having an attitude about innovation, that whatever you're doing, you can always do it better. You've gotten practices and procedures and mentalities from the past, but you can always, you know, do it differently. I mean, there's a whole chapter in Quench Your Own Thirst about innovating around our IPO. You know, when we went public, you know, there's a standard way to do it, and everybody does it the same way, and the investment banks line up, and they make their money and all that. And one of the problems with the standard IPO model is the public doesn't get the shares. They all go to the big institutions and big investors. And the public, you know, my drinkers would have been the last people to get shares. So I turned the whole thing on its head. I put coupons on the six packs and allowed our drinkers to buy 33 shares at $15 a share.
Oh,
the institutions paid 20. And they were all pissed off. He's like, wait a minute, we're supposed to get the good deal. You mean you're giving your drinkers a good deal? And I said, absolutely. I'm in business because of my drinkers. I want them to be my owners. And we got $65 million in the mail from our drinkers. We could have done the entire public offering from those six-pack coupons and ended up with owners who were drinkers, not some wine sipper, you know, at a big institution, real Sam Adams drinkers.
Oh man, I'll tell you, these are great stories. And you talk and you're quite open that you've made mistakes. You know, you experiment, things don't work out. You put it aside, you pull the plug. And I always think of this too.
Yeah, I'd rather
drink
my
be on the outside looking in or on the inside trying to get out. And sometimes the temptation to grab the buck or to get the notoriety is there. And you have to say, I'm not going to act in an impetuous manner. Stop what we're doing, take the losses and remodel it, retool it.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, when you read Quench Your Own Thirst, one of the things that pops out is I learned as much from my mistakes as I learned from my successes. And in fact, many of, you know, our successes.
And I'd like to have you just elaborate on a couple of your mistakes.
Oh, well, you know, I'll start with Sam Adams Boston Lager itself, right? So I make this beer. I think it's a great beer. I go to all five beer distributors in Boston and ask them if they want to carry my beer. And none of them would take it. All five of them turned me down. And I thought, okay, this is a pretty big failure. But what, you know, I was very determined and very passionate about my beer. And I thought, well, okay, I'll just put cold beer in my briefcase and I will go from bar to bar in Boston trying to get bars to carry my beer, to offer it to their customers. Probably 95% of the calls I made, I got turned down. You know, so 1 in 20 bars took it when I first started. But, you know, I learned from that. I learned how to sell. I learned how to talk to bar owners and bartenders. I would come in and do promotions at night and talk to my drinkers. So that was, you know, a seeming failure, but it actually educated me in ways that I would never have been able to do, you know, had I just been brewing the beer and sending it to a distributor.
And you've kept your humility, which is an amazing part of this story. And for people who don't know, I mean, it's amazing with the success you've achieved and how you're trying to pass this information on to others. Your best guess is to where the industry is going. I mean, it's crowded. You've really gotten a hold, and yet it's a small percent of what's sold in beer. You don't need a large percent to make a lot. Where's the industry going?
Well, you're right. I mean, Sam Adams has been kind of the leading craft brewer, the pioneer in craft brewing for over 30 years, and we're still only a little over 1% of the U.S. beer business. That's not a whole lot, but, you know, I started my kitchen, so I'm proud of it. And I think that there is still a lot of opportunity in craft beer. I think, you know, we've started this movement. You know, there is a revolution. You know, 20-somethings have adopted, you know, craft beer like Sam Adams the same way that their boomer parents adopted wine. So I think we are at the beginning of a very exciting revolution and culture change about, you know, how Americans think about beer, and we're leading the world. So is it going to, you know, as I talk about in the book, you know, you shouldn't start a business because you think it's going to make you really rich. the chances of that happening are meaningless. You know, there's not lots of Mike Zucker.
That's actually a great note to go out on, and I hate to do this. I'm always fighting the clock. It's like the 2-minute drill. Stay on as we conclude, Jim. I want to chat with you for a moment. It's been an absolute pleasure. Just buy the book, Quench Your Own Thirst, Business Lessons Learned Over a Beer or Two. Jim Cook.
Cheers.
Thanks so much.
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need spotonwebsite.com. At spotonwebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. Spotonwebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at spotonwebsite.com.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
When you pick up a Nevercraft 26-piece screwdriver set for $19.99 at Napa, you're not just getting 26 beautiful chrome-plated instruments. You're getting something that shows the world if there's a problem, you've got 26 ways to tackle it. That's $19.99 for a 26-piece screwdriver set and 26 ways to show you're the man for any job that requires screwdrivers. That's Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer expires 5/31/16.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least 2 federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least 2 federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute, free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more. And we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
BizTalkRadio.com.
You're locked into Money Matters Radio, 1120 AM WBNW.
This is Martin Fletcher. I'm a special freelance correspondent for NBC News, and I've just done an interview which I enjoyed very much with Stu Taylor.
All right, special thanks goes to Jim Brooks and Samuel Adams Beard joining us right now. Author Ryan Taylor. Unlike me, it's spelled T-A-Y. L-O-E. He's got a book out called Within the Parables, Silent Years of Jesus Revealed, and it's published by Tate Publishing. It's available at tatepublishing.com, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com. And do we have him, Tim?
Yep.
All right. We're all set to go. Brian, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Oh, well, pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right. I want to just clear up the title for people out there who are thinking and may get confused with fables and parables, and there's a whole different definition of parable. I know what it is, but perhaps you can explain it and the significance of it within the context of the title of the book.
Okay. Well, the book is basically a research work that looks through the life of Jesus, and one of the main teaching elements that Jesus used within his ministry was the concept of parables, stories that, some people say they're analogous references to nothing in particular, things of that nature. But the stories that we know that he's told, the prodigal son, Good Samaritan, those types of stories that he uses to reference and teach others, those stories, if you take them all together and you start to look at them holistically, one-to-one, not individually, they start to tell an entirely different story. And through the research that I did, I was able to kind of look at the parables as individual scenes in terms of the scenes of Jesus' life within his silent years, which is those years ages 12 to 30. And so the concept is basically this. When Jesus was teaching using parables, he was using stories from his life during those silent years that are nowhere referenced per se in the scriptures.
One of the reasons there are non-believers, doubters, agnostics, even atheists, is they doubt the validity of the Bible and the stories in there. You frequently hear that a lot of this is fiction; it's made up. How can you possibly have verifiability in this? I mean, it's a real question. What's your take on that?
Well, the concept is really simple, and it's one that when I actually kind of started looking at it, I'm like, it makes complete sense. If you've ever been to a church or anything like that, or ever heard anybody speak, the one thing that they try to do that invokes emotion and everything else is they try to embellish a personal story. And when somebody shares a personal story, it's heartfelt, it has emotion, and it comes through as clear and true. Now, Jesus, using that same technique, would have been very powerful in that regard, and that's where it really comes through. Now, the other thing is Jesus was prophetic in regards to everything that he was saying and a lot of the stuff that he mentioned as well, too. And part of the book also outlines certain elements of the parables that reflect to our society today in particular. A lot of the elements that are there talk about, and it's outlined in the book and noted as well too, talk about, how certain parables parallel certain events that are going on right now, particularly within the United States. And it shows how Jesus would have had an insight into the types of things that are going on now, major things that impact the entire world, particularly around finance, particularly around oil industry, things of that nature.
Yeah, I was going to ask, if I may interject, without attaching any political labels, you know, we politically label everything. What was his attitude, say, towards money and the feelings of the rich back in his time? And I don't want to label him.
Yeah. Jesus would, unfortunately, if you really looked at the scriptures and everything else, Jesus would probably fall into more of a socialist.
Yeah, I'd rather have you say it than me.
And it's really tough for us in our society today to look at that and say, oh, well, we're supposed to, you know, sell everything and give to the poor type thing and have a ministry that is really outreaching to the point that it's painful for those that are practicing it. But that's the kind of, you know, that's what's laid out in the Bible in terms of what Jesus said. And his, you know, it was funny because I was reading even the book of James, chapter 1, verse 9 through 11 the other day, and I just kind of happened upon it, and it was, again, a scathing kind of dialogue on the rich and how the rich are receiving their reward today but will wither away very quickly, and that those that are not rich should take delight in their stature because that is where they're going to, you know, those are the people that are going to employ the glory of God. So the message in this book in that regard, I think, is very critical for the people in this country because we are the richest country in the world, at least for now, and we're still working towards it and everything else, but we have a very big obligation as a Christian country to understand how Jesus perceived those people and how he would perceive us today.
Talking about perception.
I think a lot of that references in the book is going back to that.
All right. What specific references can be directly related to events, to people, to the culture of the United States that you can attribute to Jesus Christ?
Okay. Well, the one that I see quite a bit, there are two in the parables that are two recent stories that I can kind of come across. One of them is, and it talks a lot about slavery within the book and people in prison and things of that nature. One of them is the drug war, if you will, that's going on right now within our country. We have more people incarcerated in this country per capita than any other nation in the world by far. Most of those are drug-related offenses, and most of those are specifically around cannabis in particular, or what's commonly known as marijuana. So within that book, one of the things that it looks at in particular is how people used medicinal oils, things of that nature, back then, and how we're using them today or in the future state today. And if you look at the medical marijuana laws, we now have the majority of states in our country who have medical marijuana laws now. If you look at what's happening with that in particular, and you look at the parable of the tares in the field, the weeds in the field.
Harvey London, Mark Rosenthal, here's what's happening for today.
Keep talking. We've got some sound in the background there, Tim. Continue.
Okay. So, that's right. So, what happens with that is that the parable of the tares in the field says that weeds were planted among the crops, and then they were taken out and tied into bundles and burned after the harvest, which directly correlates with the number one thing that puts people in prison in this country, and that is the drug war that goes wrong with it. The other thing is the parable of the servants that have particular financial debts, and this particularly parallels with the mortgage industry crisis that has recently occurred here as well, too, where one person has a debt, very large debt, that is forgiven by the master, but then he leaves, walks away, goes to people that owe him less money, more people that owe him less money, and demand it back, which is exactly what happened with the mortgage crisis. The banks were bailed out. They had huge debts and everything else that they
can you give us just briefly a couple of other warnings or prophetic images?
Please. This is the critical one. If you look at Revelation chapter 13, which everybody likes to reference in regards to the number of the beast and the two beasts that come out and the dragon that gives power to both of them. This is a very powerful reference because the two beasts parallel two of the major industries in our societies today, which would be the oil industry and the financial industry, which we just kind of talked about a little bit there as well, too. In particular, the number of the beast, 666. You will not be able to buy or sell goods without the mark of the beast, and everyone, no matter how rich or poor you are, will have the mark of the beast. That it is a human number. It's calculated, and that number is 666. We all know that. Well, there is a system already in place that does that, and it is our credit score system, our trusted system for credit, i.e. establishing debt. The average credit score in the United States in 2011 was 666. I live in Arizona. That was actually our state average that year as well, too.
All right, we're just. I wish we could go on with this, but if you're going to have to buy the book, it's that simple. It's within the parables, yeah. Silent Years of Jesus Revealed. It's written by Brian Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-E, and it's published by Tate Publishing. Go to tatepublishing.com. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your valuable insights today, Brian.
The name on the book is Rick Michael.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for four seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Imus, morning 6 to 8 on WBNW, 1120 AM.
This is Jim Woolsey, former director of Central Intelligence, and I'm glad you're listening along with me to Stu Taylor.
All right, our next guest and final guest of the day, Sheila Robertson. The book is Fairhaven Forest. The adventure begins. And it's published by Tate Publishing. You can go to TatePublishing.com, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I love the book. Be perfect for my 3.5-year-old granddaughter. Great story. I love these stories for kids. And you know what's interesting? When you write a story like this, it's just as much fun and entertainment as for an adult when he or she reads it to the kid. Do you notice? Well, you do notice that.
Yes, I notice that all the time. It's great, especially grandparents.
Yeah, it brings us back to our childhood. So talk about the book. Where did the idea emanate from? Do you have a writing background, Sheila?
Well, yes, I do have my college education. I did have English as a minor, and I've been writing stories since I was a teenager. But this story series is very particularly close to my heart because Fuzz and Spats, the kittens that star in Fairhaven Forest, are my cats.
So it was easy for you to come up with using kittens and as opposed to other animals because it actually directly is involved you in your own life. How difficult was it to write the book and based upon deciding what if you want to call it a plot line, but the journey, the story, did you manufacture it as you went along, or did you have a pre-concept of what it would be?
Well, I actually have live models, and the books that I write about, Fuzz and Spats, the Fairhaven Forest series, each book is based on something that they've actually done. I live in Fairhaven Forest, which is a large patch of woods in southern Middle Tennessee, and I watch and observe the woodland animals all the time, and so my imagination just takes place, and I look at what they do, and there go the stories from there. Each story teaches a moral lesson too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, to give an overview of the story and the moral lessons that are in the book.
Yes, the first book's moral lesson is obedience and listening, and I find parents and grandparents really like this book. Fuzz and Spats wander too far from the house one night on one afternoon, they get lost in the woods. They ask all sorts of animals how to get back to the big white house in the woods, and the animals tell them how to return home, but they don't listen, and they don't obey the directions they're giving, and that way they end up spending the entire night in the forest, scared and alone.
Sounds familiar. I don't know about the forest, but I do know about kids and grandkids. It's an old, old story.
It is.
Have you gotten feedback from I don't know if I gave you a chance to talk about the other morals in here. One of them is obviously to listen. Are there any other messages?
The second book is on fear and runaway imagination. The third book's on responsibility. And the fourth book that's in illustration right now at Tate Publishing is treating everyone the same.
All right. Love it. Love it. What is the age demographic? Whom are all the books targeted to?
They're targeted for preschool up to about third or fourth grade. I find little girls like them all the way up to fourth and fifth grade, but little boys lose interest in kittens usually around second grade.
I understand. I mean, I think I just heard yesterday or the day before that the most popular pets written about and in the country are actually kittens.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so there you go. You can add that in there. Maybe you can put a little footnote. What kind of feedback have you gotten from people who have read the book that aren't in your immediate family? You know what happens when you show it to your mother, your father, your spouse, your kids. They're going to love it, even if it's – what about other people?
I've gotten a lot of feedback from teachers. I have a school program, and I go into schools as far as I can travel from home and do the program. And the teachers have given me feedback that they actually love it. They love the moral. The lesson really sticks with the children because it's entertaining at the same time as being educational. So I've got some really good feedback, actually nationwide, but particularly in Tennessee.
Oh, that's great. Who did this great artwork?
Oh, my goodness. The first book's illustrator was Liz Holt. She's no longer with Tate, but she has a large position with Hobby Lobby now. The second and third book were by a different illustrator also at Tate that copied Liz Holt's style, but she's an award-winning illustrationist. She's great.
What advice do you have for aspiring writers out there? Because I guess I can put you in the category of a veteran, someone who's been there, someone who continues to do it and has accumulated a lot of experience. Have you got some advice?
Never give up. You just keep plugging and keep plugging. I started writing when there was no internet. I'm giving my age away a little bit, but it was hard to get a publisher to look at your product back then. Now it's much easier with the internet. Just keep researching, keep studying, keep writing. I've actually have a screenplay that goes with this series, and I have a producer looking at it right now. So, you know, dreams do come true. Just keep plugging.
Yeah, I like what you're saying, and I don't mean to veer away from the interview a little bit, but you can use your book as a vehicle to create other opportunities that you may never expect, right?
That is correct.
All right. I'd love to see the fact that you're doing it. Does this rank amongst the most rewarding experiences that you've ever been involved in? And not so much for you. I mean, people write books for various reasons, catharsis, power, money. Don't write a book just for money. But a lot of them write it in the sense and the hope of helping and educating other people. How would you rate this on your list of successful experiences in your life?
Oh, it's right up there at the very top. It is a joy to watch children laugh and watch them learn from something that you write. I've written other things also for adults, too. So it's very rewarding to see something that you can put on paper that affects someone else's life in a positive way.
How long did it take you to complete the book?
I write my children's books in about an hour. It's like a movie in my head, and I just sit and start writing and laughing, and sometimes I cry when I'm writing them, but it's just like watching a movie, and I write the plot down as I go. It takes about an hour, to be honest with you.
Wow. Do the books you read for leisure and pleasure influence your own writing?
Oh, yes. I love to read.
All right. Any closing comments you'd like to make as the clock winds down?
Well, I'm just very excited about the whole series. I'd like to invite people to check out the 24 free stories that I have online about Fuzz and Spat that introduce them. Fairhavenforest.blogspot.com.
All right, Sheila Robertson, thanks for the uplifting, inspiring interview. The book is Fairhaven Forest. The Adventure Begins, Tate Publishing. Thank you, Sheila. Thank everyone for listening. Back here tomorrow.
Thank you.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.